for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And I was telling it in a congregation. I was telling my vision. You know, it was new at that time. And somebody will ask me if it has come past. As far as I know, it hasn't. But several things have happened that have made people call me and ask me, you think this is your beginning of vision? And I said, well, I don't feel any unction from the Spirit toward it, but I don't know. Well, I gave this prophecy, and this was the prophecy that I gave to a congregation, not the one I've just told. And it was so outstanding and so promising that I knew in my own spirit that, hey, they ain't gonna believe this. And the Lord, of course, knew it before I did. And so he says, all right, you doubters, I know that you have doubted this. Well, I'm doing the vocal, but I'm hoping I'm on the right track here. And he says, so I'm going to give you a natural. You can't believe this spiritual thing. I'll give you a natural projection. And when you see it come to pass, as you will, then you will know that the spiritual prophecy that you have heard is true also. And then I said, hey, very shortly now, that gives you a little bit of room, but not much, and an airplane's going to fall out of the sky with over 300 people on it. And there's going to be no survivors, and nobody's going to know what caused it to fall. And this will be the beginning of many aircraft, smaller now, just falling out of the sky without any reasonable explanation. And it wasn't more than 2 weeks until that one. You remember that one that was shot down over there in the, I have to get over around the Russian area. Shot down, it failed. Had over 315. Prophecy just said over 300. There were no survivors, and they tried for ages to learn what made it fall, and they don't know to this day what made it fall. But, and God said, now when you see this happen, you will know that these spiritual prophecies are true also. And, it got folks' attention, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, but the thing is that, you know what thrills me about it? I hate that the plane failed, but it was going to fall anyhow. And God just say, but the thing that thrills me is that nobody in the world knew it. There's no way that anybody could have known it was going to happen. No way. Hey, there was only one that knew it was. And he, you know what he did? He just lifted me into that realm that is above all other realms. And let me dwell there for a brief season. And tap me into the onto the line of knowledge that knows as he knows. I don't deserve this lofty elevation that he elevated me into, but I cherish it. The thing that thrills me about that is that now I had always suspected that there was a realm like that. Now I know there's a realm like that. And inasmuch as I have been there, be it ever so brief, but I was there and knew as he knew, it makes me to know that that place exists. And if I can fashion my life and my obedience to please him just exactly, I can enter into that realm. And that's eternal. That's eternal. God is eternal. This is eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, you know, Jesus says in the 16th chapter of St. Matthew, and the last verse, he's closing a rendition of teaching there, and he said, hey, there be some of you standing here, I'm quoting it loosely, some of you will not see death until you've seen the glory of the kingdom of God. And then in the 17th chapter, they see it. He goes up into the mountain, takes Peter, James, and John with him, and he's transfigured right before their eyes, and they've seen the glory of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. They didn't have to die to see it. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. And then what happened there? As the transaction was taking place, there was a, here comes somebody. Oh, he's ancient gentleman. It's Moses. Moses comes and appears with Jesus. Jesus standing, Moses comes and stands on the right side of the Lord. And then they marveled and they looked again, and here comes another ancient gentleman. His name is Elijah. And he comes and on the other side of Jesus, and they get part of the illumination, oh, it's quite an experience for them. And they've been gone a long time. Moses been dead a long time, but Elijah been somewhere a long time. He was last seen riding a whirlwind of carriages up till he went out of sight. Now here's the beauty of this. I quote from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord. Hey, you know, sometimes Paul said, well, I don't have the word, but I'll give you my learned opinion. I believe I have the mind of Christ. But he doesn't say that here. It's by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. This I say by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. If you come through the old line Pentecostals, you believe this is a rapture. And I believed that for a long time, but I no longer believe that's a rapture per se, as we taught it back in when you teach the rapture. But I believe it is a translation. It is a translation of the Enchristed, the sons of God, hallelujah, amen. And notice the order of the visitors that comes. First comes Moses. Moses died, and the Lord buried him, didn't he? Moses represents those that have died in Christ. And Elijah didn't die. He walked into life. And so he represents those that are alive, but they are in Christed. And the cloud is the same cloud as that cloud of witnesses, hallelujah, that great cloud of witnesses that is the spectators of our very works today and tonight. They're in the stadium of expectancy, watching us, and I think every once in a while they're saying, he walk into life. What are they waiting for? Are they without us? Ain't we made perfect? Hallelujah. Amen. And so the dead in Christ are the first ones to rise up in this translated power of resurrection.
And then they that are in Christed. If I were to give you a definition of being Christed, all right, use my own self for an example. Hey, if the Lord, if this incident were to take place tonight, right now, and there's nothing in my life that would keep me from being translated, then I am in Christed. But if there's anything in my life that would prevent me from being translated, I wouldn't be translated at that moment. But I'd still be a disciple to some extent, and I'd still have a chance to seal my testimony, maybe with blood or something. I'd still have a chance with God, but I wouldn't be translated at this moment. And that is the translation of the sons of God. That is the empowerment of their ministry. That's what the Lord said to me, meet me in your closet of prayer. Well, I don't have a regular closet that I go into. You know my closet of prayer is symbolic. It can be anywhere I am, and he's anywhere that it is. And he said, I'll meet you there, and I'll give you immunity over everything. And that's what that's what's happening here. The translation is giving the sons of God, the enchristed, immunity over all things, and we'll be able to wade through those things that the great tribulation calls in, the mark of the beast, and all of these things. We'll go right through them, over them, under them, around them, or I think rather we'll just go through them. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord will lead us into the dispensation of the fullness of times. Hallelujah. And we will, hey, my first teaching was, and I thought that at first if you go into the millennial kingdom, all you do is just do what, you know, dance and shout and fish and hunt, whatever. And I thought it was a place of complete bliss. But the Lord showed me this. Nobody taught it to me. The Lord showed me and said to me, hey, the kingdom, the millennial kingdom age that you know very little about will be an age of correction. If I'd known it was the Lord, I'd have got mad about that. Amen. Taking my trophy away here. Hallelujah. Amen. And gonna bring me out of a dispensation of correction into another dispensation of correction. But I wasn't angry long, for he soon made me to know it. He's going to give me the long end of the stick this time. Hallelujah. We're going to have the long end of the stick, but it is an age of correction where a child dies at 100 years old and a man has to face and take the responsibility of his actions at 100 years old. Well, that tells me that we're doing pretty good, because sin's what's killing us. And here we are erasing, eradicating sin, and our lifespan is increasing. How old was Methuselah? 969 years, wasn't it? Say, if I went by the way of the Lord tonight, by translation, I'd have a guarantee of outliving Methuselah 1,000 years. No, 100 years. I'd get 1,000 added to this already 69. That'd be 1,069. He's only 969. And the only reason I wouldn't get more, because at that time, at the end of this age, time will be no more. This time realm will be completely abolished and completely forgotten. The Bible said you'll remember those things no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is how we'll know that we have entered into the dispensation of the fullness of time when we come through the kingdom age. Now see here, I have preached over 600, close to 700, maybe 700, give or take 10, 15 funerals. And I only preached one that the lady was over 100. And she was my daddy's sister, 105 and a half. But until that time, that's only about 5 years ago, until that time, I'd never preached anybody's funeral that was 100 years old. I preached a lot of 98, 97, along in there, you know, and,
And I was made to comment on the old age. But I said, well, if I preach any funerals in the concentration of the kingdom, and I'm preaching somebody's funeral that's only 125 years old, I'll have to say, for the pity. Wasted, cut off right here, you know, in the beginning of his life. Things change radically from here to there. Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then, when this age is over, we'll realize it's over. Hey, we're in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth right. How bright it's going to look. How bright it's going to look. Left everything of this sin-cursed world behind. And we'll be in the life of God throughout eternity. Hallelujah. We'll be secure in Him as long as He lives. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. But unless you can get into this realm where God can dispense this life into you, you won't have it. You can't get it. You can't get it nowhere else. Amen. It don't come from anywhere else. It just comes from Him. And He dispenses this into us. He is dispensing a portion of His life into us right now. And if we allow that life to mature in us, we will never, never, never be the same again. Hallelujah. And if we allow that life to mature in us, we'll never meet for the last time. Hallelujah. Some of you I just met. Some of you I've known for a long time, meet you periodically here and maybe other places too. But if we let Him develop His life in us, we'll never meet for the last time. Hallelujah. This is the ministry of the very elect. You know, there is a very elect. The Lord gave me that, too. Hallelujah. Direct. Hey, I was standing in the pulpit when He gave me that one. And usually he don't do it that way. He gives me a little time to develop it. But He won't develop this one. And He gave me the ministry of the very elect. You know, in Matthew 24 and 24 says, speaking of the Antichrist and all the foolish things, that it would deceive the elect if that were possible. And there is an elect, and then there is a very elect. And that very elect are those that are caught up together with them that have gone on and are caught up in the cloud of witnesses to meet the Lord in there, to ever be with the Lord. The very elect. Hallelujah. That is, say I think you know that I was raised on a farm. Well, anyway, you know I'm country. And we milked a lot of cows. We milked them way back when I was just a young boy. And we put them in them ears. Most of you have never seen one of those old milk cans, you know, with the ears on each side. Yeah. Milk can, cream can. Well, we put them out in the, we separated the cream from the milk. With one of them old, yeah. And then we put the cream out in the shade by the mailbox and come to and picked it up. And they'd send us check later, you know. And we'd have it out there every morning. But we'd keep a lot of that milk at the house. And you could set a gallon of milk up, you know, just fresh milk. Just set it up overnight. And next morning, you look at that. And about this deep on the top. It's plum yellow. That's how it's white. All the cream has come to the top. And then if you'll examine it a little closer, you'll notice that on this thick rim of cream, right at the top, a much thinner stripe now, but there's a cream that has rose up through the cream. And it's now right on top, and it's only a quarter of an inch deep. That's the cream of the cream. Of the crop. That's the very elect. Let me tell you this one. I'm going to close. But I was in that, you know, when we was going over to England or to France to make the invasion. Well, they gather us in this big old warehouse. Oh, there was a whole regiment of us in there. And, you know, I don't know how many men that is. 3,500. And the colonel come in, the old colonel that was the regimental commander. He was a World War I veteran. He'd been to Calvary. Ah, he was tough. He looked tough. He talked tough. He wanted you to know that he was tough. And he looked us all over. And, of course, we knew something big was happening. And he said, men, you, 24 hours from now, or maybe you said 48 hours. I believe it was just 24. And he said, 48 hours from now. He said, a good third of you will be dead. And another third of you will be wounded. Might be about a third of you left to fight, but that'll be enough. And then he said, you are the best trained men that the United States Army has ever had. Had the most concentrated, you are the cream of the cream of the crop. And my patriotism really got stirred up there, and my hair, the curls came out of my hair, and I felt 7 feet tall. And he said, there's not, nobody is your equal. Don't tell you this so you'll underestimate the enemy, but you're superior to anybody you'll meet out there. And so now he said, I want you to get on to this and make me look good. And I'm really into this. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm really into it. And so he said, well, they won't let me go with you. Yeah. If they let me go, I wouldn't need to take about half of you, he says. Yeah, tough, I'm tough. All right, here comes. We go get on the planes. But not all of us not going to the same place, but there's about a battalion of us that went the same place. That's three companies, 750, 800 men. And we was on them C-47s, you know, these whole one platoon and the crew. And I was a CO, and I had, you know, I ride in one with one platoon. Hopefully, if you figure out which is going to be the last platoon there. But anyway, now I wasn't the one that was designated to be there first. I always made that a policy to lead. Never asked a man to do anything I wouldn't do. And we started, we're airborne. And I mean from airborne to down ain't long across that channel, flying 150 miles an hour and just going about 30 miles. It ain't going to take long. And so we got on there and everything's quiet and I'm scared, man. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid. I'm really worried about myself. I thought I was, you know, here I am about to panic. I thought. And then I looked at my men and they looked like they're seeing ghosts too. And so we get, but we're on it and it's going and we ain't driving. It's going to go. And so then the pilot calls back and he says, we're about 4 minutes away from target. You know that when I flash this green light, you've got your instructions, but I want you to get them misfits off of this aircraft in 30 seconds. I said, I'll get them off. and we talked for another minute and he said, well, he said, we're 2 minutes from touchdown. And he said, is there anything I can do for you before we part? And I said, yeah, if you can get Colonel George on that phone, on that radio, I sure do need to hear him tell me one more time how tough I am. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, a little light. Hallelujah. And of course, when the thing gets out, you got to get off. So we got off. And there's nowhere to go. I mean, no, if you shoot, you'll never shoot anybody because we're all in there like a bunch of chickens in a coop, you know. And, but some of us survived. And, but the thing that when my morale got the highest was when he said, "Where's the cream of the cream of the crop?" I understood that old country talk. And that's what the Lord's saying about us tonight is that this company that has seen the elite and has tried to be in the very elect, that that's what it is, cream of the cream of the crop. Hallelujah. We'll rise up first. If we don't go by the way of the grave, we'll rise up alive. And that's what I meant when I said, I hope to walk into life. Elijah just walked into it. Enoch just walked into it. Hallelujah. At least two has already walked into it. I kind of wonder, you know this, I forget how many of the statistics show how many people just disappear from the United States every year. And they're never heard of again. And I know that some of them are criminals running from the law, but all of them are not. Makes me wonder if maybe, hallelujah, if maybe they just walked into it. Like Enoch did. Well, I mean, there's a possibility that they just walked, please God, and walked into life, and hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Well, say, it wouldn't surprise me a whole lot.
Well, I mean, if it were to happen to me, I'd know what was happening to me. It wouldn't surprise me enough, but I wouldn't know what was happening. Hallelujah. But you can't go unless you get ready to go. And like I say, if you make this lusty call in, you won't be strangers, and you won't have just got lost and run into somebody either. You will have been designated, and you will have pursued this life in God. To the end Christ did. So when Jesus then, and I'm closing, when Jesus returned to take up the life that he laid down, he said, "Father, here it is. I'm going to now take up the life that I lay down." And the Father said, "I just dumped us on them down there." And about that time, in a room half the size of this in Jerusalem, about 120 gathered together, heard the rush sound of a rushing mighty wind, and they looked, and every one of them had cloven tongues, speaking in a foreign language, in a different dialect, different language than they ordinarily spoke in. The promise of the Father had come with the return of the Son. Hallelujah. To say, "Father, it is done." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father and our God, it is with great confidence, Lord, that we stand before your presence tonight. Lord, we've shared some of your word, and we felt a tremendous anointing, O Lord. We feel a tremendous breaking, O Lord. We feel a tremendous imparting, O Lord. Oh, great God, tonight I pray that you would continue to bring us to maturity, O Lord. If this be just a beginning for some, and if some have been a long time, Lord, but you bring us to the fullness of your plan for us, O Lord, that we shall meet you in peace and in glory, thank God forever. We pray that not a one under the sound of our voice will ever be lost, alienated from God, but we pray that all under the sound of our voice will be reconciled to God, surrendered to complete our obedience, Lord. And the Lord would say, "Surely enlargement is coming. Surely you are being enlarged as you open your spirit of revelation and believe. Enlargement is coming. You shall now have greater understanding of the Word of God. You shall now have a greater spirit of retaining that you have heard and that you do know. And you shall now have a greater spirit of imparting that which has been imparted to you. Yea, for you've stood in the presence
of the Almighty. You stood under the shadow of the Shekinah realm of glory. Yea, and the Lord has spoken to you as direct as it is, profitable to speak to you this night, saith the Lord. Now, I have many things further to say, howbeit time will not permit that it be said this night. Yea, but you ponder these things, and they'll grow in your heart, and they will become truth that you know, and that you can't doubt, saith the Lord. Yea, for you have been a privileged people to be in this meeting, and these days of meeting, and it is going on yet. Yea, and it will get deeper, better, yea, and you will have more enjoyment. Yea, as the Lord does cause the bread of life to be broken, does show us the position that we're in comparison with the world situation now. Oh, we've come from many avenues of life. We must learn all that we can. Yea, and for know that I have given you the diversity of ministry. Yea, I raised up, planted this camp. Yea, and I've caused it to grow and grow and grow. And it is like the proverbial sea that's by the river. This one's by a lake. Yea, and in the drought it does not wither. Yea, I've given overseers for this camp meeting, and for this campground, for this place of the Lord's. I've given overseers that are after my heart. They're after the heart of God. They only want to see the will of God. Yea, they are honest, filled with integrity, honor, they and the Spirit of the Almighty are within them, and they too feel like the cows that went down the road sometimes feel this way, lowing as they go. But there is something within them that makes them to say, we're not too old. Yea, time is not with us as it is with God. Yea, and we are taking God's timing for it. But I am yours, old or young, Lord. I will do whatever you say. I know that you will not give me a mission that you will not enable me to complete. Yea, this is the will of God for this camp, for this ground, for this people that comes time after time. Yea, that you will always find a blessing. You'll always find deliverance. You'll always find life here at this camp, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glenn, thank the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jack.
Thank you. I want to make mention, remind you of prayer at 6 o'clock. Come and meet with Jesus. And as you get together and the anointing in the presence of the Lord flows, the needs of the people. Also, there are some who want to be baptized. We've almost always, every camp meeting, have a baptismal service, except the last couple we haven't had. So we'll have a baptismal service at 6 o'clock Sunday evening. Well, for all who would like to be baptized, if you want to be baptized over, that's fine. That's no problem. Or if you have never been baptized, or if you've been sprinkled, or whatever, and you feel you'd like to be baptized, we'll have a baptismal service down at the lake at 6 o'clock. Okay? And don't forget prayer meeting in the morning. And don't forget to get yourself in bed as soon as you can so you can get up in the morning for prayer meeting. Okay? Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, help us to hide it in our heart. Help us to ponder the things of your word. Father, that we may walk in the path of righteousness and holiness, that men and women will know that God rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of his people. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for those who you sent to found it for us. We might know the times and the hour that we live in, that we may walk in a path of holiness and righteousness, being the people that you've called us to be, declaring that Jesus is Lord. Father, we bless Brother Jack. We pray strength and health unto him. Refreshing, Father, for the days of we'll be faithful to the calling that you've called each one of us to dispense the word of life unto your people. We may be a people truly of righteousness, and holiness, walking and declaring truly that Jesus is Lord. And I thank you for it. Amen, amen.
They gave me a little bit of a window, and I'll take it. I just wanted to say, Glenn, you know, that several years back when we were pastoring, the Lord showed me I wasn't able to dance before the Lord like I wanted to. I could see it in my eyes and in my spirit. You know, and I said, but Lord, my body won't do what my soul is crying out to do. And he said, but you can play in the spirit. You can play that violin in the spirit. When you hear it, you can just focus that you are before the throne playing for the Lord. Everything that you hear and everything that's inside you. And those people who can't sing, you do sing. You do sing inside and God hears you. And you're singing in the spirit. And you're dancing in the spirit. And you're worshiping him in the spirit. And he said, if you would worship me, see my throne. If you'll stand and visualize, just take your fingers and put them together and look like this. And you can see a little tiny bit of the throne. And you'll see yourself standing there like this before the throne, worshiping him. And everything inside your being will flow before him. It doesn't matter how old we are, how nimble or how fragile we are. It doesn't matter how much we weigh or anything. There isn't any weight or any age or any disease or any sickness in the spirit before God. So everything that you want to do tonight, do it in the spirit. Hallelujah. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. And I made a promise to the Lord years back that I would always sing to him, sing praises to him in the sanctuary and to his saints. And I have very quickly chosen a song this evening that I used to sing for my pastor, that I believe is really what's in my heart. A couple of years back, after I made my first professional recording, the enemy tried to steal my voice. He tried to kill me. He put grave disease upon me, and they came and did an iodine radiation treatment on my thyroid, and it damaged my vocal cords. And the enemy had already tried to steal my hands, so I sold all my sound equipment and all my musical things, and my husband and I were a different part of the ministry. And God has been restoring. And I'm here to tell you that he's great. I can sing, I can dance, and my hands work. Praise God. And he's restoring the discs and things in my back. And I want to tell you that he'll do the same for you. I'm no different than you are. No different than you are. Praise God. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. And just let this minister to God through you. Let's let our praises go up to him through us. And then he'll come down through us and bless us with his presence. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.